I have a confession to make.
All right, here he goes.
a little ongoing from the ending of last episode. We were talking about coffee, right? Talking about coffee.
Oh, no.
Talking about how I'm a big evening time coffee drinker. I drink a lot of coffee throughout the day. But you know what I haven't been able to do?
We talked about how wrong that is.
Whatever. You know what I haven't been able to do the last 7 days? Drink coffee. And I'll be honest. I'll be honest. First couple days sucked. But again, I'm going to be honest.
This is hard for him to say.
I feel kind of good. I don't know. Maybe it's a placebo. Maybe my brain is playing mind tricks on me. I don't know. But I'm feeling pretty good. I've been waking up early. For Ramadan, by the way, I didn't even mention. It's Ramadan. Ramadan Mubarak. All of my Muslims. All of my non-Muslims. I've been waking up for Sehri. And I have been staying up. I drink my coffee. I twiddle on my phone a little bit. I go outside and I read a book for like an hour and a half.
So
to 2 hours.
Would have thought that not drinking 4 coffees a day would actually make you feel better?
Honestly, why didn't anybody ever tell me that I don't have to drink so much coffee to like have like
I
actual?
I think people have told you.
Nah, people have like never came and be like, "Yo, Masha, you should like." Everybody's just like peer pressuring me, like, "Yo, keep drinking more coffee, keep going." Like, I bet you can't do 4. I bet you can't do 5. And it's like,
who's peer pressuring you?
Everybody, like my mom. Right. My mom's like, "Drink more coffee."
Right. But, so now we're lying during Ramadan.
But Ramadan has been good. I've been enjoying Ramadan. I'm a little hungry right now, but I'm good. Not complaining.
Yeah, Ramadan has been good. It's been good. You know, I've been eating a lot. You know, it's so funny because, like, you know, in my family and, like, when I make my own food and stuff, I eat a lot. Like, obviously, after 15 plus hours of not eating, you're supposed to eat. Tell me why Mashun's plate has a piece of lettuce on it.
No.
A piece of strawberry.
Listen.
And that's his whole meal. And it's like, you can't do that. After fasting,
I'm in a caloric deficit right now, and it's more than just a piece of lettuce. Okay, I have a nice salad, and I have nice fruits, and then after that, I'll make like a little like chicken pita wrap. Something, I don't know, but
so
I'm
why
good.
Is it the other day you told me that you're about to faint at the gym? You're like, I was about to throw up. I was about to faint because I didn't eat enough.
No, that's not the truth. See, why are you twisting stories? You're such a gaslight. That's not how the story went. I felt like passing out because I went to the gym right after I ate. I learned you're not supposed to do that. Thank you, Google. Now I know.
Right.
But to make things negative real quick, my coworkers are so like dismissive of Ramadan. It's so crazy. If one of y'all are listening right now, close your ears.
No, honestly, they should be listening.
But it's
they should learn a thing or two.
But it's like 11:30 hits, psh, crack open the Corona. Noon hits. Psh, warm up the bacon. 1 p.m. hits. Take a shot of Casamigos.
Make the gelatin.
It's like, what is going on? Freaking 2 p.m. hits. Freaking say, go to church. Like, they're so dismissive of the fact that it's Ramadan. Literally on the first day, 1.5 people said, literally, like, one of my coworkers, I walked in. He was like, Mushroom.
1.5.
No, one of the girls said Ramadan Mubarak. And then one of the guys, which is kind of cute, he was like, Mashtun, Eid Mubarak. And I was like, ah. okay. You tried
to teach him?
Yeah, I taught him. I was kind of caught off guard in the beginning. I was like, buddy, hello? he was so excited too. And then he was so sad when I corrected him. He was like, oh. And he just like turned around. But anyways.
He's hiding his tears.
Anyways. Welcome back to our podcast, our beautiful podcast titled Difficult-ish Podcast about South Asian narratives. My name is Mashnoon Munir.
I am Ahua Khan.
And we're talking about something crazy today, aren't we? But before we get into that, rate us, review us. We're at like 400 something. I want to see 500. Can we get the 500 by tonight? Maybe. I'll make a couple accounts. I'll help y'all out. Leave us
so
a review.
That you didn't work.
I didn't even tell you about that. I just remembered
that. That was a new one for me.
Yeah. Rate us, review us, Apple Podcasts, review us. Please say nice things about us. Follow on Instagram. Difficult-ish. Follow us on TikTok. Difficult-ish podcast, and follow the two of us. Yeah.
So today we're talking about something, you know, very personal to the South Asian community. You know, we have a lot of, you know, female listeners, you know, and the thing about female listeners and our crowd especially, we got a lot of things to say, right? And, you know, Mashun and I, we're co-hosts, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, yeah, we have a lot of episodes centric around just like universal things in the South Asian community. We have a lot of, you know, just like universal stuff. But it's like, yeah, when are we going to have an episode directed at the men in the South Asian community that are pretty, you know, they got some work to do. So put up a little story about like, what is it that these South Asian men can fix? What can we help them do? What conversations should be had with these South Asian men? Mm-hmm. Y'all like broke our DMs. Like, no, literally,
we had to make a new Instagram. Like, we couldn't handle how many responses we got. My God, I get it.
So many
you
responses.
Hate me. You don't want me on this podcast. You don't want men on the planet.
We wanted to do this episode because we wanted, you know, Mashun is a man. So we wanted him right. to, like, talk about some of these things from his perspective. And just, like, bring more light to this because it is very untalked about, right? So we might make a part two to this. Let us know if we should. Yeah. But we got a few things to, actually not a few things. We got a lot of things to, you know, mention in this episode that we're excited to talk about.
So what are we talking, like you didn't even answer like what we're talking about.
Oh, okay. What we're talking about today, right? We're talking about just like different things that South Asian men can fix in the community. Wow. You know, whether it be them helping in the kitchen, whether it be them participating more with women's issues, whether it be them like helping out with their sisters when they're getting yelled at, whatever it is, we got a lot of responses of different varieties. So that is going to be, you know, the beginning of our episode. We're also going to kind of talk about briefly before we get into that, just our own experiences with the men in our lives, you know, why we think this episode is needed, why the South Asian community needs to talk about this more, because I feel like a lot of the blame is usually placed on the men. I mean, sorry, that is a lie. A lot of the blame is usually placed on the woman, whereas the men kind of get away with a lot of stuff, a lot of serious things. So this is kind of like our introduction to bringing more accountability to the men in the South Asian community, in ethnic communities, in communities in general, and just, you know, starting the conversations.
I'll say a disclaimer. This episode is targeted towards South Asian men, but of course, like, this doesn't even need to be said, but I wanted to say it just in case there are people that do misunderstand the context and the point of the episode. We're not talking about 100% of the men on the planet.
Right.
In my opinion, a majority of things we're going to talk about don't even connect to me. And if I'm wrong, you know, you can correct me, but I think we all collectively know, and I'm speaking to the guys right now, a lot of us, if we're not messed up, our friends are messed up. If our friends aren't messed up, our cousins are messed up. If our cousins aren't messed up, our father figures are messed up. There's a lot of people, a lot of males in the community that have some straightening to do, that have to understand how to maneuver through women much better, all the women in their life, whoever the woman is. We all have something to get out of this conversation, even if it's just a little bit. I think like learning about the struggles of women is an ongoing lesson. And the same with women learning more about like what the life of a man is like. It goes both ways. But specifically in this context, learning about the struggles of women compounds over time. When you're 16, you have no idea what it's like to be a mother. When you're 55, when you're a 55-year-old man, you have no idea what it's like to be a mother. But you learn more as time goes on, as long as you understand that you are never going to fully understand what it's like to live in their shoes. The best thing that you can do for both parties is to just try your best to learn and correct your own mistakes as much as possible. So, quick disclaimer, we're not talking about 100% of guys, but I think that 100% of guys will get something out of this conversation.
That's a good exit. Yeah. So, yeah, we're not generalizing all men, but if the shoe fits,
right, it fits, right? You know it does. It's like, you don't have to, like, we'll see you in the comments. Oh, like, you know, not all men. Like, you know this. It's like, it's crazy. It's like the guys that say, not all guys, it's that guy that like we're talking about. Isn't that crazy? Like, think about that. Like,
you're,
I know
you're the
like,
guy that we're like, completely some
of,
right
some
now.
Some of you guys come across this, come across our Instagram post. I know we're gonna see the comment. Not all the guys, just know it's you. Like, it's literally you. So like, comment it, whatever, engagement, get our shit up. But it's you, okay? Please recognize.
This episode is directly for you.
Right. So so I think we can start off with just like a brief. I know like we're at this point, people know our goddamn lineage and life history. But do you want to give a quick recap?
You're extra funny in this episode today, huh?
Yeah, it's the fasting. I don't know. Do you want to give a quick recap of you know what your upbringing was like?
Yeah, a little recap of the men in my life, right? So I got my my little brother, who's actually a grown 23-year-old man. We got we got my father, right. You know. So my dad has always been working, and he's always been, you know, the bread of the family, right?
He brings the breadwinner. He's been the brioche of my family. He's been the pumpernickel of my house.
Here you go. I forgot the word. Okay,
he has been our yeast. Go ahead.
Enough. Okay, enough. He's always been the breadwinner of the family. All right, you gotta cut out all these laughs. He's always been the breadwinner of the family, and so because he was the breadwinner, and I understand it, he thinks that, like, you know, after coming home from a long day of work, he's expected to just like sit on the couch, just eat, go to bed, and do it all over again tomorrow, right? Which I understand. You're tired. So my mom was the one that did all the cooking, did all of the household chores, did all of the, you know, raising us. And it was kind of expected that, like, he did the outside work, whereas the woman did the inside work. And it just felt very divided. And so I grew up with that ideology. And a lot of families grew up with this this idea where, like, only the women stay at home and they kind of do the domestic work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he never really understood the need for, like, my mom to work outside, even though she eventually did start and she became a lot more independent once we got to high school. And he just never really, like, gave her credit. And I think a lot of men have this issue where they just think that just because they bring in the income, everything else that a woman does is not to that standard. It's not you're not supposed to respect it, right?
Yeah.
And then my brother as well, I think when you have a father figure like that, and also when society is teaching you that, my brother as well grew up with that ideology where he kind of grew up a little bit more spoiled than me. I think I was spoiled just because I was the eldest daughter, so like my parents bought me a lot of stuff, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But like, I think he grew up more spoiled where like he was able to go to school where my parents paid for it. He was able to not have a job. He was able to do, like, relax a little bit more when I was the one being told to help in the kitchen or whatever it was. Even though it was a little bit better than most families, I think we still had a very equal upbringing because we both did karate, but we both did, like, you know, singing, dancing, like, swimming. We still did kind of, like, the same thing. But there were still some subtle differences because of our genders. And, you know, it's kind of unfortunate that a lot of men grow up to be a little bit more spoiled and they aren't able to do like the same things that women are able to do because they were just never taught to do that and they were just expected to sit down, right? So he's gotten a lot better now that I'm not living at home and he picks up his end of the bargain. But I think because of society and because of my dad's influence and because of, you know, how the South Asian community is, a lot of men just grow up very, what's the word? Disabled.
Wow.
Disabled. No, what's the word? Is it enabled or disabled?
They grow up with one arm. Any other word. All right. No, I get what you're saying.
Do you get it?
like I'm trying. I have a question because I feel like it, like, you didn't fully answer it. Other than like what's taught in the house, I know you mentioned, like, you know, things that are prevalent in like the South Asian community. Why do you feel like guys, or not feel like, but why do a majority of the time, like, guys or the sons of the family are more spoiled in the house, and why is more pressure put on the women? Because, like, in retrospect, if you think about it, with your dad doing like so much hard work and spending so many hours outside, it would make sense that that same type of like pressure would be put on your son. But a lot of the time it's kind of like the other way around. So why do you feel like it goes the other way around sometimes?
I think there's a higher or a bigger pressure on the daughters or the eldest daughters of the family or the girls in the family, because they're expected to be the caretakers. They're also expected to, you know, do all the things in the kitchen, but also have a good job where they have the burden on their shoulders to take care of their family. But I also know that sons have that burden too, where they feel like they have to be the head of the family. A lot of them feel like they have to have a good job and, you know, take care of the family. In my case, that didn't really end up, it didn't really end up being like that, especially earlier on. Maybe now it is a little bit more, but I think it's just girls are expected to do a lot more because of the, because of history. You know, we were always taught to be the ones to just go out of our ways and do extra stuff to make everyone else around us happy. You know, even during, like, since we're talking about Ramadan, you always see like the moms or the aunts or the woman in the family bring the food to the sons or the husbands in the living room, and they're all eating. They're still, the women are still in the kitchen cleaning the plates and then making the food. They're barely eating. If they are, they're kind of standing up and eating, and they're like away from the men. So it's always been like that. It's always like a traditional idea that the women have to be the ones serving the men while they do basically nothing, you know?
I feel like everybody has like those stories of like, you know, I remember my nanu used to tell me when she was 13, she used to like have to serve and cook like for like 12, 10 people, like from like an early age. And that's like, that's their duty, and they're like seen as like, that's like the only thing, or like one of very few things that they're really useful for, is like, if you're not cooking and if you're not cleaning, like what else are you like providing? Right. And whether they're providing more or not, it's like, that's not the conversation. It's the fact of like the way that men think about women, I feel like, is like the core of the problem. I feel like a lot of men are like, I'm a man and you're a woman. That means I do this and you do that. Whereas it's more like, yo, like, I'm a man, you're a woman, we're both humans. Yes, we have differences. You know, I feel like women are more like emotional based. Women, you know, as men, we have to better understand how women process emotions. Whereas like, for example, like if your mom is cooking so much at home and, you know, she doesn't want to complain about having to do so much, but she's under a lot of stress, it's the man's job to understand like, okay, like my wife, my girlfriend is stressed out right now. I can sense that because I have emotional intelligence. Let me act accordingly and not keep acting like a dickhead, because I'm a man, you're a woman, you know? So I feel like that's where a lot of the problems arise from the man's side, you know? And there are just so many women that go so, and men too, obviously, but this episode is about women and how women go so underappreciated for so much that they do around the house.
But it's also interesting how you said that, like, women are more emotional. I think that women are emotional, but I think there is, like, a negative connotation that women are more emotional, and so that means that they can't handle a lot of stuff and that they are the caretakers because they are emotional and they can handle kids and things like that. But I also think that men are so freaking emotional. Like, I've met the biggest, like, men crybabies, and I think a lot of them, just like women, a lot of them hide their pain, and a lot of them, like, disguise it so that they can be the tougher person. They don't want to, you know, inconvenience anyone. And a lot of women also do that, and it's kind of like a back and forth. If like one person doesn't reciprocate, you know, the emotional intelligence, and the other person isn't going to do that. So I think both parties are just both emotional. I think men are just better at hiding it, you know.
I think when I said women are more emotional, it's more like, you know, and we have these, like, not issues, but these circumstances of like, you know, you're always more willing to talk about your, like, your feelings and like how you feel about something that's going on or something that's upsetting you. You're always more like, hey, like, this is going on. Whereas like men are often like, whatever, we're stoic, we'll, like, it's not that important, I have bigger issues. That's what I meant by emotional. Like, and I know that when that word is said, it's correlated with like a crybaby or someone that can't handle stress. But that's what I meant by that. And yeah, it's like, I don't know, like, we shouldn't even really get into like where the root of this even stems from, because there's so much. And unfortunately, like, literally every single family is different. And that's something that I want to get into with, like, just, like, a brief recap about my background. I know that I've said this a bunch of times on the podcast, but one of the big reasons why we started the podcast was because I feel like I had a very unique perspective and experience as a brown man. You know, I was very unaware of, like, this whole world of, like, a brown male privilege and a lot of the advantages and a lot of the spoiling that they get, because I didn't have that growing up. I'm not gonna say reverse, but I had to take on a lot of responsibility in my house. I'm the younger brother. I just had to I had to sacrifice a lot of myself for my house. You know, I didn't grow up with too many South Asian people either. I had one really close friend who was Indian, who was literally, like, in pretty much the same shoes as me. He had a little sister, but he was, like, the man of the house. He had to start paying for bills when he was 16. He had to break up fights. He had to incorporate so much into the family. And, you know, I think one thing that I did get out of that friendship is I know that he grew up with a lot of anger issues. And I think that that's something that I'm very happy to say that I don't have. I probably got angry a lot when I was a kid. And, I mean, but when he was a kid, he used to get really, really angry. And he never wanted to, like, admit why. But, like, now that I'm older, I can understand why. It's because he had so much pressure on his back. Like, I'm here to listen to what you have to say. And, again, with, like, all the responses that we got so many. And I was reading through them. And I'm learning as time goes on. Because, you know, this is a whole world that I'm not accustomed to. And but it's becoming more clear in my eyes, and, like, I see it in, like, more family dynamics, and, you know, whether it's, like, people around me or, like, on the internet, like, I can see more vividly nowadays, like, how much more that the male will have in a house than the woman, you know. But again, like, as for me, I feel like my situation was a bit reverse. I'm sure there were situations that I'm not aware of that I had the upper hand in because I was a guy. I know there are, and I know that there are some that my sister has, like, in her head that, you know, she probably, like, doesn't want to say for whatever reason. That's fine. And I'm very grateful, and I'm very happy that my sister had gotten those opportunities, especially with coming to know you and coming to know more about, like, South Asian women and how, like, rare it could be for a South Asian woman to move out at 18 and, like, to move to another city and to get, like, certain jobs in certain industries and to be, like, you know, work in corporate America and working up the corporate ladder. It's not super often. We don't see a lot of South Asian women faces in corporate America. Or so I'm learning as well, because, again, like, this is a new world to me. But as I get older, I better understand a lot of the privileges I have, not only as a man, but, like, you know, as a brown guy.
I wish there were more people like you, huh?
There are. You know, that's something I definitely want to make sure to say. Like, there's a lot of guys like me. I know a lot of guys like me. And
it's hard to find it.
I think it's hard to find it because the bad ones just make themselves more known. You know, like, the good ones don't make themselves known. Because no good guys are going to be like, look, guys, I'm good. Like, look, guys, like, I get it. Because you don't do that. That's by your actions. Mm. The bad guys, not only do they show they're bad by their actions, but they show their bad by the things they say, the things that they post, the thing, you know. You can see it in, like, the family dynamic. So, yes, I'm sure it's harder to find the good guys, but I just think it's, like, the bad guys are just louder.
So, do you want to move on to the responses that we got?
Yeah, sure. God, those responses.
You ready for this?
Scarred.
Machine response.
What if you called us useless? Which, like, okay, I get it. Like, go off. Like, you're mad. But relax.
They said nothing else. We're like, oh, what else can they help with? You are useless.
And they are useless. But, yeah, we got a ton of responses from you guys.
So, on our story, we wrote, we are recording an episode on South Asian men, how they can be better and how they can help. So, what are some things that they should do more of and why? So, we got a lot of responses, right? We're going to go through some of them, talk about this. We got so many that we are considering doing a part two to this because we know that this is a very popular topic. So let us know in our comments on our Instagram if we should do a part two. So someone said, let's get going. Let's start.
Yeah.
Someone said, empower their sisters and take a stand against abuse and forced marriages.
Wow. I think let's focus on that first part, which is just taking a stand with your sisters.
Yeah.
With whatever it may be. With marriage or getting yelled at, whatever it is. I think that's something that I know that's something a lot of sons don't do. And I honestly used to do this. I know I used to do this when I was younger and like my sister was getting yelled at. I used to be like, haha, getting yelled at. Whereas like, okay, when you're a kid, it's another conversation. But like when you get older and you're more aware of the difficulty of a South Asian woman's life compared to yours, your job, your duty is to like stand by your sister and be like, hey mom, like I know like you might be upset about this, but like, yo, like relax, like she's fine. Like just like something simple like that. Or even if it's not words, like the words is like level two. Level one is like, yo, like be cool with your sister. Like stop yelling at her.
Be on her side.
Yeah, like,
you know, it's very interesting because like me and my brother, when like any of us would get yelled at, even if it was me or if it was him, it would kind of be like, okay, at least it's not me. Like they're getting yelled at, it's not me. So it's kind of like you back off. So he would do the same thing. And then eventually like it would kind of just be against me, the yelling. And my brother wouldn't really say anything. Also, he was at school. Like, he was away for school, so he wasn't home. But I would always tell him and call him saying, like, oh, it's always me getting the yelling. And also, he's not here to experience it. And I think parents kind of depend on your sibling to get, like, backup. So instead of them backing up your parents, they should be backing up the sibling that's getting yelled at, especially if it's for something, like, completely wrong, right? And so my brother, especially when he like came back for break or like when he finally moved back home, he started standing up to them and started supporting me more. And like my parents kind of backed down more because they know it's just me and my brother on one side now instead of like him on their side or like me on their side. You know, like I'm gonna stand up for my brother. It goes both ways. He's gonna stand up for me. And that's what it should be. You know, it's not like a division where we should be on different sides. Or like even if I am completely wrong and they're yelling at me or whatever it is, or he's completely wrong, I'm not going to tell them that they're wrong right then and there in front of my brother. Like, I'll tell him separately, or like he'll tell me separately at the end, like after they're not there anymore, right?
Yeah. And it's like a lot of the time us as sons can bring like a fresh perspective to like a certain argument or situation that's going on in like a family. Like, for example, like if a mother and daughter like keep arguing every day about like, you know, the mother likes oyster mushrooms but the daughter likes portobello mushrooms, and they keep arguing
why do you always go to
they're arguing back and forth. The mother is not understanding how it's possible for portobello mushrooms to be better. You as a son could be like, yo mom, like portobello mushrooms are pretty good, you know, and be like and it's the fact that like you're saying the same thing, but it just coming from a different person, it just does something to like your parents' brain.
Yeah.
Because like after a while of arguing with their daughter for so long, they're just gonna stop listening to them, and it's just gonna be like,
yeah, they're numbed out.
It's gonna be like absent kind of arguing, like absent-minded arguing. Mm-hmm. Whereas like as your son, like literally the smallest phrase could really do wonders in getting your parent to think about something that like the daughter has been preaching for 20 years. Like then the son's like, mom, portobello mushrooms, try them out. And then like you don't even make some from her. Like go to the farmer's market and, you know, get some portobello mushrooms. You know, we as sons can do so much for the daughters in the home, and it's really not that hard.
It's so funny how like now my brother is like so much more on my side, where like the other day I was home and like I got my family an air fryer mostly for my brother, and my mom like has never used an air fryer before, so she was kind of like, oh, like I didn't know it was look like this, like it's kind of smaller than I thought, you know, blah blah blah. And like she wasn't trying to fight or anything, or like she was not arguing, right? And my brother was like, your oldest daughter got you an air fryer and you're not even appreciating.
That's good. That's like, good.
That's and I was like, oh damn,
that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. Then he took it too far. Yeah, a lot of progress. But I'm saying, like, damn, that wasn't even a fight. You're just trying to fight for fun.
Now he's mad. Now you have to be on his side, because now he's mad.
Yeah, now he's mad. All right, so the next response that we got, something, you know, that goes with the theme. Cleaning the dishes after iftar or helping out with chores.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. How
we feel about that.
That's a big
you
one.
You know, another funny story. Hold on, before you keep going. So the other day, I also went home, right? And I was having, like, my mom was preparing iftar for the family. And my brother came home like in the morning time and he was taking a nap because he was fasting. So my mom came to my room at like 6:15 or something and she was like asking me to prepare iftar and I was like mad. So I was like, why don't you ask your son to prepare iftar? Right. Mm-hmm. So I said that to her and then I finally went into the kitchen and then my brother came down like right at iftar time and I was like mad. I was like, why didn't you help? And he was like, you came home one day and you didn't help. I've been helping like this whole Ramadan session. And I was like, oh, that's progress. The fact that he's been helping. Yeah. Like, that's different.
That's good. That's good. And he handled that. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Good job. If you're listening, good job. Yeah. Cooking.
Yeah. Cleaning. Make him listen to this one.
Yeah. Cooking and cleaning. I think first off, it's different for every household. Some households are 50-50. Some households are 80-20. A majority of households are 0-100. We'll keep it above. Mm. I think something that I do, apart from like, I'm active in cooking and cleaning, but apart from me being active, I think, again, it starts off with the appreciation. I think a lot of the time, men lack in the appreciation category. They don't appreciate the fact that a mother has cooked all this. They don't appreciate the fact that your mom took out the trash, your mom did your laundry, your mom,
it's kind of like expected,
did everything. It's expected. So, and I think a lot of the time, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of time women or moms don't want their sons to cook. They just want their sons to like appreciate the fact that their mother cooked and to like show them like love and gratitude. Again, it's probably different in every household. At least for mine, my mom never really wanted me to get into cooking. Like, she never cared, but I saw the look on her face whenever I showed her like love and like, you know, like hugged her and be like, thank you, mom. And like, and some of that I do a lot even today, but I did a lot when I was a kid. It was like I would just like stand in the kitchen with her.
Yeah, you do that a lot.
I would literally just like stand beside her and watch her. Like, I don't have to be helping, but like, whether it's the presence, whether it's me recognizing the fact that she's doing all this and like make little
going comments, grocery shopping with them,
going, that's a big one, you know. And again, this is all before actually even helping cooking and cleaning. Of course, that will help you 10 times as more, but I feel like most guys struggle with like literally the base level of like being appreciative. Spend time with your mom in the kitchen, like take out the dishes, put the dishes on the table, like get some forks, like literally the tiniest stuff will go,
the bare minimum.
Like take out the glasses. Like a lot of time they don't want you to cook, they just want you to like show them love, you know. Yeah, you see me in the kitchen, you see I be whooping it up. I be right by my mom. My mom literally kicks me out. She's like, yo, please leave, like you're literally in my space, you know.
Yeah,
I'm still
that's
there.
A good thing.
Yeah, I'm still
that's
there.
A good thing.
That's a good problem to have, you know. So guys, listen, please, like tomorrow, like just go stand there and like see what she does.
Don't even like show your face, like don't tell her that you're there, just like stand there.
Yeah,
I'll do that sometimes where like I won't be making any noise. I'll just like stand behind her and she'll turn around and she'll get scared.
And then like she's scared, but then she's happy. And if you want to take it to the next level, be like ask her what she's making, because a lot of time, and we got to keep it a buck, a lot of time we be seeing our mothers whipping it up. We don't even know what they're making. We just know they're making something.
You know, recently I started writing recipes and a little cookbook, customized cookbook.
Yeah.
It's a cute little gesture, you know, just like listening and doing your part to participate, you know?
Yeah.
You know something my mom gets really happy at? I don't know what it is. I don't have it. But like my brother has this like talent where he's able to like taste something and he knows exactly what's in it, like all the flavor, like all the like
I do not
all the seasonings. No, he does. Like he'll be just like putting it on his tongue and he'll be like, oh, salt, black pepper. Like,
okay, that salt,
I don't know,
obviously.
No, but like more in depth. And my mom like loves testing him sometimes where like she'll give him food.
That's so cute.
And she'll be like, what am I missing? Or like, what does this taste like? Because like, you know, sometimes you'll eat something that they make and like it's conspicuous, like you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So like she'll be like, I bet you won't guess what this is. And then he'll put like one thing on his tongue and he'll be like, pumpkin grater. Like, you know, he'll like say the thing what it is. And that's she gets so really happy about that because it's like, oh, like he's actually appreciating the taste and like he's saying, and like he'll always compliment the food before, you know, anyone else. And like some people kind of just start eating and like, they're eating without inviting the mom to the table. They don't compliment. They're just eating it, you know?
And we're not even talking about the dads. The dads are the worst at this. But man, like, we got to say thank you to our moms for cooking more often. We really mm-hmm. don't be doing that enough. And mm-hmm. I'm not talking about like once a week. I'm talking about everything she makes, literally just say thank you, because she made that for you. You know, I know when I first started cooking, it took me 6.5 hours to make an egg sandwich. And my mom makes it in a minute. And I'm like, Mom, right. like, how do you do this? You know, so right. start, like, son specifically, start saying thank you to your mom. Start standing next to her. Start asking her what she's making. And if you want to get into cooking, you know, I'm sure she'll be happy to introduce you.
Yeah. So someone said men should educate themselves on women's issues.
Yeah. I would restate that to men should reach out to women to learn more about women's issues. On top of course, do your own thing. But, you know, there's reading articles, and then there's like actually talking to like a woman about, and especially like a woman who like knows how to properly express the topics, because, you know, all women feel the struggles of women, but, you know, some women just explain it better.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely reach, and we all know women that can express themselves,
because like I didn't see none of these guys talking anything about like the anti-abortion, anything about the women's march, anything about woman related issues. It's always about like football story here,
well, wow,
or God knows what else. But I only saw a woman talking about women's issues.
That's true. Yeah, I think a lot of the time I think, one, it's because men just don't get it. Like men hear the word abortion and they're like, oh, abortion, it's just like a pregnant woman, she's not pregnant anymore. No, there's so much more than that, than just like,
I think
the,
they just don't care
because
it doesn't affect them. They think that it doesn't affect them directly.
I think they, yeah, you're right. But I also think they don't care because they don't get it. Like, you care more about something if you understand it more. And right off the bat, you don't understand it because you're not a woman. So like the natural default is to like, oh, like, you know, I don't really care. Not the correct way to go about it, obviously. But I think that's unfortunately the default, is like, men don't understand it, I'll let the women handle this one, kind of thing. But absolutely, men need to be more aware of not only women in general, but like of South Asian women struggles as well, of eldest daughter struggles as well. You know, especially when you're a kid and you're a teenager, when you're a young adult, you have no idea how much your older sister will sacrifice for you, for the entire family. You don't even know. You don't know.
And
she isn't going to tell you either, because she doesn't want to pour out all of that on you, because she still wants you to be good. She still wants you to be successful, wants you to do her own thing. She's not going to tell you 100% of the brunt. She'll tell you like a little bit. She'll tell you like, yo, you know, like, and a lot of the time when the eldest sister tries explaining it to the younger brother, they'll come off a little angry. They'll come off a little frustrated. But that just comes from like years of you not getting it, you know, and like, you're going to go like, oh, like, stop being so dramatic. Or like, oh, like, it's not that serious. It is that serious. She's just like upset at the fact that you still don't get it. The same way that you would be 10 times more upset if you were in her situation. I think that's important to remember. A lot of time, the son would be 100 times more upset if they were in their daughter's shoes, and they don't even know it. You don't even know it. So absolutely, like, you have to be more aware of what women are going through.
You have to be more aware of it, have the willingness to learn about it, do your own research, ask your sisters, your mothers, whatever it is, have that direct knowledge as well, but also be in solidarity with them and stand up with them, you know, instead of just expecting women to fight a woman's fight and just standing on the sidelines when your sister is getting, you know, verbally attacked or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So someone said, admit that they have trauma and go to therapy, and so that they don't repeat the cycle of abuse.
Yeah. I think that's something that they're going to have to figure out themselves. I think a lot of the time, and this is coming from my experience as a young man, is whenever somebody told me that I needed therapy, or that I didn't understand anything, or that I just don't get it, it just got me more upset and frustrated. But I think there comes a time in a young man's life where they, on their own journey, recognize that they don't know anything. And
but that's the thing. I feel like a lot of men only go to therapy because it's their partner forcing them to go to it, or like saying that, oh, I'm not going to be with you anymore if you don't do therapy to save this relationship.
I'm sure that happens, but I don't think that's true. I feel like most men go to therapy on like their own decision and their own basis. I think things like happen to lead up to them committing into therapy that might include women, but I think a majority of time it has to be the man's decision. I'm sure it happens in relationships. I'm sure that happens. But in my opinion, I think, you know, as the woman, instead of just like barking at the male figure to get help, like, see, like, get help. You don't get it. Get help. I know that's coming out of frustration and anger, but I think it's important to remember that, like, that's not going to make them go to therapy. It might make some, but I think we also have to be a little bit cautious of how men will consume that message, because like no man wants to feel disrespected. No man wants to feel like, you know, they're helpless, you know, that they're not contributing. So, but in general, of course, more men need help and more men need to learn emotional intelligence. But I think it's important to remember that for men, it's hard for men to get into therapy. I think it's easier for women to get into therapy because, again, they're more emotionally based and understand how they're feeling better. Men don't know how they're feeling. Men think that like the mind is not as complex as it really is. They just think it's like, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm mad, I'm annoyed. Whereas like, no, there's so much trauma that goes into what creates those feelings for you personally. And therapy looks different for every single person. So I think as the woman, you can mention, you can discuss the value of having emotional intelligence, and you can talk about how learning more about yourself is just going to help you succeed more in life in general, apart from the women. But of course, men, you guys need help. And like men can say that. Guys need to help guys. Like guys help guys more than women help guys. A guy's message will intercept a guy's head more than a woman's message will. Depending on the topic, of course. But I think when it comes to something like therapy, I think if I had a group of guys and like they all went to therapy and they're all talking about how great it is, of course I'm going to be 100 more times inclined to go to therapy than if I'm hanging out with like four girls and they're talking about therapy.
So why do you think it's so hard for men, and especially South Asian men, to get in touch with their emotional side?
I think first off, a lot of men don't understand the complexity of their mind. You know, men are very fact-based. Men are very like, this happened, so that means this. They're very like, very straightforward with their emotions. They're like, I'm feeling sad because this happened, and now that I have the answer to why I'm sad, I'm good. I'm gonna just get over it. Whereas women are more complex with their emotions. They're more like, I'm feeling this way because like this combined with this and this happened and combined with a little bit of this. And now this is what is in my head. And I understand that even though I know why I'm upset, or maybe I still don't know, there's more than just knowing about your emotions. There's a lot of healing and a lot of maneuvering through emotions that has to be done. And that's what men don't understand. Men don't understand that you have to heal. Men don't understand healing. I think women understand healing. Men think that once they have the answer, or what they think is the answer, they'll close the book and move on. And I think that that's what stops a lot of guys, because a lot of guys will say the same shit. They'll say, I don't need therapy. I don't need no therapy. I say that.
So they're not. I don't need no therapy.
And that that I don't need therapy comes from you believing that you have your life figured out, and that comes from just the fact that you think life is so like simple, and women see the world a lot more dynamically. So I think that's like the genetic difference. And again, I think there comes a time in every man's life when he's like, man, like I don't know anything. I remember that time in my life, You know, I think every guy remembers that point in their life when they're like, damn, like, I've been messing up, you know?
All right, so let's do one last response for this episode. As you know, we want to do a part two. So let us know if we want to, if we should do a part two. All right, because we got a lot more, all right? We only got like five, right, that we did talked about in this episode. So someone said, men should respect women and call out their friends.
Calling out their friends is a big one.
That's a big thing. You know what I've seen? What a lot seen? Of abusers, a lot of alleged, you know, SAers, a lot of alleged RAPISTs.
Not allegations.
A lot of their boys are still besties with these people.
Nah, he didn't do that. Nah, yeah, chill, he didn't do that. Chill.
Nah, he's not like that.
I've known him since five. But he wouldn't do that.
Yeah. A lot of them are the ones trying to cover up their boys' tracks.
Yeah,
a lot of them are trying to, you know, still bring those boys to the hookah lounges and connect other girls with these alleged SAers.
Wow.
So what we got to say about that?
I think there's a lot of guys that will just like talk poorly about women, like apart from like the physical stuff, of course it's not allowed. We don't tolerate that, but what happens, what is it called
boy locker room
locker room talk, which is like like we and any adult can differentiate like what is truly just for like humor and what is actually like not something right to say or something that is said with the wrong intent. Like we can recognize that. I think a lot of people avoid that just because they want to make everything funny because they don't want to be confrontational. But a lot of you guys know which one of your friends is a little messed up when it comes to like women's emotions and like and understanding women. Like you guys know, but you guys will base it all in humor just because you don't want to confront your friends. I haven't done too much of this again because like I feel like the guys that I grew up with have been all right. But I know that this is something that happens a lot, just making everything a joke. There can be jokes. Jokes are fine. But you guys understand what's a joke and what's not. And what's not a joke, don't make it. Don't keep it a joke because you know it's not. Mm. You know it's for real. You know you know this one friend actually thinks what he said. You know that.
Mm-hmm. If your jokes, what the hell is the hotline? Pitch line?
Oh, God. God, here she goes.
Punchline. If your joke's punchline is hotline. Always involving...
Hello. Hello. Thanks for calling.
Shut up. If your joke's punchline is always involving insulting women, then I hate to break it to you. Your joke's not funny. Your joke's not funny at all. It's just sick in the head, you know?
And a lot of time, a lot of time, we didn't even get into this. And this is a topic for another episode. But a lot of these jokes, you know what they're based in?
What?
A man's insecurity because he can't pull no
girl. Hey! Because
he can't pull no shorty. He can't talk to no girl. He never got kissed on the lips.
The little Toronto accent came out.
He never hugged no girl. He didn't get no action. That's why you're like, man... Like that's literally like the villain arc of a guy is when he's like rejected like his first kiss. He's like, I hate women now, and it's not my fault because who wouldn't kiss me? Yeah, a lot of it is based on men's insecurity, which is a long pipeline. But
that's a whole other episode.
Call out your friends, man. Call your friends.
Yeah, we got a lot of episodes within this one, right? Yeah, we got to do a lot of extensions to just this episode. Them.
Good thing we're doing this podcast forever.
Yeah, exactly, guys. Yeah. We have a lot more content coming just around these men.
Yeah, wow.
All right, you ready to close off the episode?
Yeah, let's close off saying one good thing about men. Not about me, about
Yeah, no, I'll say a little comment about you.
Okay.
You know, something about men, actually just this man, he kills the bug sometimes. Like once there was a bug and I saw it on the wall and I yelled his name and he punched it.
How dare he?
Yeah.
Yeah, how dare he? I do more than that.
So that's a good one. Yeah, you do.
Like what? Please.
Sometimes
other than
like,
a bug killer.
Sometimes you'll like make me some like fire bagels.
Okay.
Tuna on it.
Thank you guys for listening to our episode. This woman has no, labeled me a buck killer and a bagel maker. I have nothing else. I have nothing else to provide.
No, you got some good qualities.
Yeah, I could tell.
This man's a good one because he's able to actually emotionally talk about his feelings. And that's a rare phenomenon, unfortunately.
Barely.
Got ask a podcast me, together for a reason.
Ask me how I'm doing.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
What do you like about men?
I think, you know, this wasn't the topic of this episode, but I think that there's a lot that a man goes through that a woman is also not going to understand. I think men need to be okay with expressing themselves. I know it's not going to go from 0 to 100, but you start at 1% and you make progress. I've gotten a lot better. When I was a kid, I didn't say nothing to nobody. Now, I say very little to very little people. So, I've gotten better. But I think something to also note is that a lot of guys are currently on like that path of getting better. We don't get recognized for doing work. We get recognized for being better or for like six or for meeting goals. And I think a lot of men are in the pipeline right now. And I think as women, when we see men get better with things, women should highlight those things, and women should be like, yo, I see you get this now. Thank you. Or you've gotten better at this. Thank you. Cause a lot of men are working right now, and you know, they're working hard because they know that they have to meet the end goal to get recognized and to be appreciated. But I think to just help make the process better, women should just be, you know, endearing to the fact that like a lot of these guys are trying to be better.
Good one.
Yeah.
That was a good episode, huh?
Yeah, you're welcome. It's me, Masha Munir.
Yeah, finally. It was needed after 80-something episodes.
Follow me on Instagram if you want to hear more.
All right, any 10-second advice? More me.
Add lemon to your water. Add lemon to your water. It tastes better.
Yeah, yesterday, me and Ami were looking at that drink that you had on the table. It had lemon in it, and then it had, like, ice cubes in it.
Yeah.
But the lemon had, like, still the sticker on it, and it was just a big, chunk in there.
Sorry.
Like, you didn't squeeze it in there.
No, I did. You couldn't tell. You were far away from the camera. You weren't looking hard enough. But it was squeezed. Add some lemon to your water. It tastes better. Vitamin C, I think. I don't know. I'm just a boy. Add some ice cubes. Chug it down. And thank me later.
My advice is, now that it's springtime, you know, take a little walk.
All right. Please. No, I'm not letting you get away with that. I'm not letting her get away with take a walk. Please give me something else. Please. This is not freaking Mary Had a Little Lamb, like the Happy Caterpillar. Like, this is not kindergarten. Please.
You literally said put lemon in your water.
That's more dynamic.
See, now this is just double standards.
Please. Can I, like, actually, like, this coming from the heart. Can I please have something else?
You know, consider having, if you're fasting, consider having a little iftar party with your friends, but also, like, people that don't celebrate Eid or don't participate in Ramadan. Yesterday, I had a cute little, you know, iftar date with my Hindu best friend, and we celebrated, and, like, she didn't eat or drink any water for, like, 4 hours.
Oh.
And then she didn't drink anything until the time to break fast, and it was so cute.
I think that's a good one. All of our non-Muslim listeners, celebrate a little iftar with your Muslim friends.
Yeah. And it's okay if you say Eid Mubarak instead of Ramadan Mubarak.
It's okay. It's
still, like, we see that you're trying, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Good one.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Again, we would like to make a part two. Again, we would like to make a part two or a part three even. We have a lot more to say, and I know you guys do too. So we might make an extension for this. Let us know in the comments if you would like us to make that. But yeah, make sure to follow us on Instagram at Difficultish, on our TikTok at Difficultish Podcast. Follow Mashoon at Mashoon Munir. Check out his blog, Mashoon.com. Check out my Instagram at LabyrinthEv and TikTok.
And if you made it this far, I want to see some lemons on our Friday post. Some lemon emojis.
Yeah, drop. We saw the penguins lemons in our last week's post. Thank you. All right. Well, we love you guys. Ramadan Mubarak, and we'll see you next week. Allah Hafiz.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.